Well, let's bow our heads and ask the Lord's blessing before we get started here. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the wonderful privilege, the salvation that you offer for all of us. Dear Lord, I thank you for giving us your life that we may have eternal life. We thank you for the blessed hope, the assurance, the confidence of salvation that we can have in you. I ask your blessing upon us just now. May the words that I speak bring glory and honor to you. I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been tired of yourself? I told my wife one time I wanted a vacation. And she said, sounds like a plan. I said, not that vacation. I want a vacation from myself. And you ever just want a vacation from yourself? You know, the inconsistencies in your life and the trouble that you get yourself into, you wonder, is this ever going to change? You get up in the morning, you see that same face in the mirror there, and I've seen you before, you know, and you get up and you're hoping that there had been a change this last week. And by the grace of God, we have changed. But you know, I know every single one of you in this congregation has something in their heart that you have been dealing with for a long time. Amen? All of us have. We have something that we struggle with. If we don't, that means we're not Christians. Because the Christian life is about overcoming and finding victory in this present world. Amen? And so we need to find victory, but victory comes through who? It comes through Christ and Christ alone. Amen? So as we struggle in this world, we see our inconsistencies, we see our failings. And sometimes it can be overwhelming and we wonder, Lord, am I ever going to make it to the kingdom of heaven? Is that going to be possible? Will I ever make it to the pearly gates? Will I ever stand on the city streets of gold? Well, turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 17. And we're going to look at the familiar verse that many of us have heard and read many a time before. John chapter 17, verse 17. John chapter 17 and verse 17. Let's see what the Bible has to say for us today. John 17, verse 17. You know this scripture. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? Thy word is truth. Now read with me if you will, or go to me with me if you will, in verse 15. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now Jesus is speaking here of the companions that are close by. He's praying to the Father, Lord, keep them. Don't take them out of the world, but they are not of this world, but keep them from evil. Now notice here that God is praying, Jesus is praying for His people, amen? Jesus is praying for His disciples, and I believe this prayer extends down to you and I. God, Jesus, prayed on our behalf, asking us that we would be kept from the evil one, but also too, that we would be reminded that we are not of this world, amen? Friends, we are not of this world. In other words, you are aliens in a foreign land. You follow what I'm saying? We have a place called heaven. And John chapter 14 tells us that He goes to prepare a place for us, right? A new heaven and a new earth. A mansion for you and I. A place where there's streets of gold and foundations, 12 different foundations of different stones, of pearl, or gates made of a solid pearl. 12 of them. Imagine that. I hope that when we get to heaven, we're barefoot. Because I want to know what it's like to walk on streets of gold. I've never experienced that before. Have you? Any of you? Streets of gold. No more blacktop. You know? Praise the Lord. You know, Derek won't have to worry about... Derek, you hear that? Paying attention back? He sees not paying attention. Even the head deacon's not paying attention. You know, you have to worry about painting those lines in the parking lot anymore, right? Amen. And when we get to heaven, man, I don't know what it's going to be like. Will we have our own stopping ground? I don't know. But streets of gold. Think about that for a moment. And yet we hoard for ourselves what we call the pleasures of this life in exchange for the streets of gold. Who wants this world when we can have streets of gold? Amen? But Jesus is praying for His people. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Notice what He says here in verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? Truth. Three things that we're going to look at. Sanctification, truth, and the word. Notice the process here. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So there's 2 points. Jesus said something. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sanctification comes through whom? Jesus Christ. And notice what he says, thy word is truth. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus, again, twofold message here. When we come to Christ, it is Christ who does the sanctification work in our lives. But it's also the literal Word of God that transforms our life. After all, the Bible says, doesn't it? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. The truth shall do what? It will set you free. Now, friends, I had the opportunity, again, this last few weeks, to have an evangelism program. And you know what? To rehearse our messages, it's exciting stuff. I mean, they are present truths. Amen? And boy, it's exciting. I was preaching on the state of the dead. And I can't give names or anything like that, but I was preaching on the state of the dead. An individual came up to me and tears in their eyes, my daughter came to me and told me that Granddaddy, my father, had visited her from heaven and said everything was going to be okay. And now what you're telling me in this Bible, that the dead are not really, are the dead are dead, they don't really live after they die, they don't go into some sphere in heaven. That was a hard truth for them to accept at the point. Tears running down their eyes. I've seen my Father. He's come to visit me. I know He's real. I know what I saw. Only He would know these experiences. Friends, let me tell you something. Whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, we are in a battle between good and evil. The Bible says very clearly that the devil himself will appear as an angel of light. So what do we do, friends? We must stick to the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us plainly that it sets us free. And finally, these persons accepted that truth and they understood that it wasn't God that came to visit them or their dead beloved relative that came to visit them, but probably the devil himself in disguise as somebody they loved. The truth will set us free. Amen? And friends, when we come to the truth is a light to our path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It guides me in darkness. It shows me the way. And friends, I don't know about you, but we are in a dark, dark world. Amen? We need the light of the gospel. We need the light of Jesus in our lives. We need the light. Jesus said, sanctify them. What does the word sanctification mean or imply? Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 1. Keep your finger there in John 17. We'll come right back to that. But Genesis chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Everybody know where Genesis is, right? Genesis, first book of the Bible, right? Many of us have actually read through Genesis 2, but we usually give up after Genesis 1:1. Everybody knows Genesis 1:1, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's about as far as we get, friends. Keep persevering in the Word of God. You know, get through Ezekiel, get through Numbers, get through Isaiah, get through Psalms. Friends, the Bible is the power in our lives for today. Well, anyways, Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. Now verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day, and what did He do with it? He sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. What did He do? He sanctified it. In other words, He set that day apart from any other day. Sunday is not a holy day. Monday is not a holy day. Tuesday is not a holy day. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is not a holy day. Every other day is just another day. But the Sabbath, the seventh day, is a sanctified day. A day set apart from all other days that we need to recognize that it's God who is in charge of that day. So when we come back here to John chapter 17, He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In other words, I want to set my people apart from every other. I want them to be holy. I want them to be reverenced. I want them to be a new creation, a new creature, a new person. I want them to be set aside for a holy purpose, for a holy intent. Let me ask you this question today. Do you find yourselves being sanctified? Are you sanctified? Are you set apart for a holy purpose? Or are you just like the rest of the people in this world? God has called us to be sanctified people, different than others. We have God who is our Lord and our Savior. Sanctify them through thy truth. Now, how do we achieve the process of sanctification? How do we, one, become sanctified? Do I walk through a door one day and enter the door of sanctification? That's all it takes? Is it by baptism and then am I sanctified? How are we sanctified, friends? Turn with me, if you will. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible reads, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who will, speaking of God, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of what? Truth. God has a desire that all men, how many? How many? Everybody. That means the entirety of the human race, God wants to bring into the kingdom of heaven. Amen? That means He has a desire for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He has a desire for you to eat from the tree of life. He has a desire for you to walk on the city streets of gold. He has a desire for you to come into His holy presence. He has a desire for you to drink from the fountain of water of life that flows through the city streets in heaven. He has a desire for you to be there. All men should be saved. I don't know about you, but that sure is a loving God. Amen. That tells me that God is concerned about the numbers of the hair that we have on our head. Amen? Even if you don't have hair on your head, He's still concerned for you. Amen? God cares for us and He loves us. He wants all men to be saved. But notice this, and to come unto a knowledge of truth. What does He say? He wants His people to come to a knowledge of truth. How do we discover truth, friends? We go to the Word of God. Amen? The Bible, the Word of God, is a double-edged sword, piercing down to the dividing asunder of bone and marrow. In other words, when we read and study God's Word, it transforms heart, it transforms life, it shows us our error. And the Bible continues on in Timothy, it tells us that we can understand doctrine, we can understand righteousness, with the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is inspired by God. When we come to the Bible, it's as though God were speaking to us by ourselves with Him. God is audibly speaking through His Word. Amen? The Bible itself transforms lives. If you want to live a sanctified life, then you need to read the Bible. When was the last time you read your Bible? Besides today. Now, I heard somebody last night, you know. What about night before? Night before that, you know. You see, friends, the Bible is the power which transforms the heart. I want to share with you something that's always, I have this highlighted and written down in my Bible. Speaking of the Scriptures, there is nothing, now catch this, nothing more calculated to strengthen the intellect than the study of the Scriptures. No other book is so potent to elevate the thoughts, to give vigor to the faculties as the broad, ennobling truths of the Bible. If God's Word were studied as it should be, men would have a breadth of mind, a nobility of character, and a stability of purpose that is rarely seen in these times. If men were studying the Scriptures, if men and women were studying the Bible, there would be transformed lives all over the place. And do I dare say that in God's church, people show up week in and week out, but they are not spending time in God's Word. They're eating from the crumbs that fall from the Master's table, then rather than pulling their seat up to the table and eating from the feast that God has sitting on the table. Amen? God wants you to feast from His Word. Why? Because it's the transforming power to sanctify the life. And without that, friends, we cannot be sanctified. Oh, we can be followers of Jesus, but if we don't study His Word, sanctification will never take place. We've got to study His Word. Well, let's continue on here. In Hebrews chapter 10, Thy Word is truth. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. God's desire for you and I is that we live in a life of sanctification, set apart for a holy purpose, set apart as a holy vessel set apart as a holy instrument for God. And this word that we're going to be looking at here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, simply is this: to purify internally by renewing of the soul. The sanctification process by which God wants to do is the renewing of the man's heart, the renewing of the soul within. You see, we can get rid of all outward appearances. We can hide all outward things of sin and look pretty good as we come to church week by week. You know, I got my tie on, got my suit on, but you don't know what's going on in the heart and the mind. God even warned when they were about ready to anoint David, don't look on the outward. No, was it Saul? It was. Man looks on the outward, but God looks where? In the heart. Don't you know the heart is desperately wicked? Who can know it? Right? The heart is stone. He can take that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, you see. The struggle that we have is not what we do on the outside, but what's going on in the inside. And then Jesus takes us that step further. He says, wait a minute, you guys don't understand the law. The law is spiritual. You guys say you don't do this and you don't do that. But he says, let me tell you something. If you look at a woman to even lust after, you committed adultery in your heart. And he says, you may not actually commit murder. You may not take a gun to somebody's head and do away with them. But if you say, I hate them in your heart, you have committed murder in your mind, in your heart. Thus, the spirit of the law is being broken continually by God's people, by what we do inside, not what we do outside. It's very easy to look good on the outside. After all, Jesus came up to a fig tree. Jesus was hungry and he came up to the fig tree and he sees the leaves and he knows that there's fruit there. But when he approaches the tree, he sees nothing but leaves. He rebukes the tree and said, no more shall fruit be brought from you. And they pass that way again and it's a withered tree, no more ever to produce its fruit nor its leaves. In other words, friends, Christians, people that claim to be Adventist people and followers of Jesus Christ, they have an outward display. They have all the leaves. They have all the doctrines, all the teachings. They look good. They have the form. You know, we've taken off the jewelry. We've taken off the makeup. We look good. But on the inside, it doesn't bear fruit. That is the warning to God's people in these last days. If you do not bear the fruit of Christ, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thus, we must be sanctified by the Word of God and by Christ. Oh, friends, let us move with caution here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible reads. Well, let's actually start with verse 7. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Wow, we have some. There's going to be a neat contrast we're going to look here in just a moment. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish what? The second. Friends, what did those animal sacrifices point to? Who did they point to? They pointed to Jesus Christ, right? But notice what he says. God did not desire those offerings. He did not desire those sacrifices. He said, I had no pleasure in them, which he offered by the law. So the old system of things basically is this, that it could not make a man righteous. It was only a picture to show the one that who could make one holy. And those lamb sacrifices, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen? So those animal sacrifices, every time they were sacrificed, every time they were put to death, it was a symbol of what the Lamb of God would do down during the ages for all humanity. And men and women have lost sight of that. We have lost sight of the purpose of the sacrifice. The old systems of things cannot make one perfect. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Verse 9, he takes away the first that he may establish the second. In verse 10, it says, by the which will we are sanctified. What does it say there? We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ. How many times?
Once.
In other words, the sacrificial system that kept going and going and going and going was not good enough to make a man sanctified or to bring him into perfection. Only Jesus is able to do this. Amen? Now get this. That one sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ, friends. Now catch this. That one sacrifice. Jesus spreading out His arms, nailing Himself to the tree, being nailed to the tree. That one sacrifice is enough to save all humanity. Now think about all the sins in your life. Might get a little discouraging here. Think of all the bad things that you've ever done. Well, God doesn't ask us to go and rehearse our past experiences, but if you think about it, you know, how many of you are without sin today? Anybody? Anybody not sinned this week? I've been looking for a perfect person to pick on today. Joyce, how about you? Are you perfect? No? Anybody perfect here? Then what do? We have a problem with sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What do? That one sacrifice, Jesus, is enough to cover the sins of all humanity. That one sacrifice was enough to redeem you. I don't know about you, but that's quite a cost, isn't it? I mean, after all, the sacrificial system was to discourage people from sinning. This doesn't give me a license to sin anymore now that the gospel of Jesus and the sacrifice of Christ. This doesn't give me a license to go out and commit murder and to steal and adultery and drugs or whatever, all that stuff. After all, you think about it here, when Israel was wandering around the wilderness and had all their camps set up, you know, and Brother Bob was in the very back, you know, maybe he's from the tribe of Dan or whoever it was, and he sinned and he takes that little lamb and now he's got to walk a half a mile to the sanctuary, you know. And everybody's looking at him. Oh boy, what did he do? You know. When he got there, he was to slay that little lamb and drain out the blood and then pour that blood upon the altar of sacrifice. In other words, that lamb was a substitute by which he deserved. He should have died, but that lamb died in his place. Friends, when we see Jesus hanging on the cross and His love for you and His love for me, it should discourage us from sin. It should not encourage us to sin. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. When Jesus gave us His life and we accept the blood of Christ, guess what? You're sanctified. Well, let's look at verse 14. For by one offering, notice what He has done. He has perfected only on the weekends. Is that what it says? Only on a, you know, Good Friday or something like that, right? For by one offering He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That one offering, friends, is good enough to cover a multitude of sins. That means that you and I, no matter what the sin in our life, again, not giving us a license to sin, but whatever the sin in our life, we can run to Jesus. If we confess our sins, He is faithful, He is just to forgive us and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Thus, by the atonement of Jesus Christ and His blood, you and I are perfect in the eyes of God. Now, is that not a miracle? That is a miracle. Amen. Look at your life for a moment, friends. Evaluate it. And then look into the eyes of a forgiving God who died to save you. Wow. I can imagine when we approach the throne of heaven, and I'm assuming we're getting a crown because after all, Paul stated, he says, I have a crown that's waiting. And when those crowns are placed on our heads and we enter into that pearly gate and there Jesus and the Lamb, Jesus the Lamb and God or holy angels are there and all of a sudden, hallelujahs spring from our voices. Praises to God springs from our voices. I'll be able to sing. I'll be able to maybe lead out in a song. But then the great train that comes, led by angels, brings Jesus and He sits on His throne. And just maybe we get a glimpse of those nail-scarred hands. Maybe the marks on His head from the thorn of crowns. And we behold what He has done for us. And I can imagine that we fall on our knees and we cast our crowns down. And we say, "Oh God, worthy is the Lamb. I don't deserve to be here. Nothing I did, I deserve to be here. I don't deserve this crown. I don't deserve this robe of righteousness. I don't deserve it." But we look at the Lamb of God, and I can imagine He raises His hand and He says, "God, my Father, here are my children. And because of what Jesus has done for us on Calvary, He has covered us with the blood, and we there praise His holy name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb." Salvation who came from God. Salvation through our Christ and Lord. And we cast our crowns down and we see just how unworthy we are. And there Jesus establishes us forever. Because we have been sanctified and perfected in His Word and through His blood while here on planet Earth. What a miracle. I don't know about you, friends, but there's not a whole lot to hold on to in this world. Not a whole lot to cling on to. A lot of unfaithfulness in this world today, isn't there? Can't trust pastors anymore. Can't trust preachers and elders and deacons and you can't trust people anymore. They can't save you. After all, we make mistakes. Just got a phone call last week. Somebody doesn't want to come back to church because they were talked about. Mentioned something that happened in their home that they didn't want them other people to hear about. You know, can't trust anybody anymore. So I told them, I said, "Look, you can look high and low. Go to and fro. You won't find any better place than God's church." And guess what? Last time I knew, there were sinners in God's church. If you do this one thing for me, what's that? Hold on to Jesus. Quit looking across the pew. You know, quit looking behind your shoulder. Just keep looking at Jesus. Don't look up to the pastor and the elders. You know, they're not going to save you. Christ is going to save you. Christ is going to save you. Paul stated, "I desire to know nothing except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Is Jesus your salvation, dearly beloved? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Are you finding help and hope in these days? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is our answer. Hold on to Jesus, and you will not go wrong. You hold on to Christ, and He will bring you to the kingdom of heaven. Greater is He that is in you that is in the world. Amen. He that has begun a good work in you will complete it. Amen. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus will see us through. After all, the disciples looked around. They heard Jesus talking to a rich man, and the rich man walked away, and Jesus said, "Hardly for a rich man will enter in the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Man, the disciples now are really scratching their head. "Man, Lord, is this Pilate talking amongst themselves, looking at each other, you know? Who then, Lord, can be saved? If it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, Lord, who can be saved?" And I can imagine they begin to soul search at that moment. "Man, I'm no better than that rich guy. I've got sins in my life. It's easier for a camel to go through. Can I get in?" And maybe we're asking that question today. "Lord, can I get in? Is it possible for me? I get up and I look in that mirror and there I see that sinful person again. Can I get into heaven, Lord? Lord, it seems so impossible." You might cry out like Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" You might cry out like Paul, "The chief of sinners," he cried about himself. But his end hope was Jesus. Jesus turned to the disciples that were questioning who can receive or inherit eternal life. He looked at them and He said, "With God, all things are possible. With men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Amen? In other words, what you can't achieve yourself, God can accomplish in your life if you're willing to hold on to Him. End of story. He wants to sanctify you. He wants to perfect you. Let Him do His work in your life. And I'll tell you, friends, when we get to heaven, we'll look back and guess what we'll say? Heaven is cheap enough. Heaven is cheap enough. All the toils, all the hardships, all the darkest plots in life, we'll look back and we'll say, heaven is cheap enough. Heaven is cheap enough. Heaven is all worth it all. All the suffering, the pain, and the anguish, heaven is cheap enough. Oh, friends, do you desire to be there today? Oh, friends, do you desire to be like Jesus? I want to have a word of prayer with you. But I want you to pray in your mind's heart, Lord, I'm in need of You. Now, I know that you are all sinners, just like me. And guess what? I need Jesus just as much as you do. Cry out to Him right now in your heart as I pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for giving us Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary that we may have the hope of salvation. Oh, Lord, we're not foolish. We know, Lord, that we are sinners, and yet we need to overcome in this world. We need to overcome sin and temptation, but we cannot do it by ourselves. We cannot overcome in our own strength, our own power, our own glory, Lord. It has to be, and it must be through You. As we submit ourselves to You, as we cling on to You, as we consecrate our lives to You, as we get into Your Word, as the Word transforms our heart, as You fill us with Your Holy Spirit, and as You draw us to the foot of the cross, there we find our hope. We may look at ourselves, and we may see in the deep cracks and the crevices of our lives and in our minds and our hearts, and we know there are sins there that are nagging us day by day. Maybe there's just this one dark habit that keeps annoying us, Lord. You are able to deliver. You are able to save. So I pray today, if it's Your wish today, that You would like to lay something here at the foot of the cross, at the altar of sacrifice, that You would do so right now. Confess this to Jesus, O Lord, forgive me. Be specific in your prayer. Lord, I have sinned. This is what I've done. This is what's in my life. Help me, Lord. Help me to desire, to want to do Your will. Thank You, dear Jesus, for Your mercy and Your forgiveness. Thank You that with Your blood applied in our lives, when we confess and ask for forgiveness, You account us sanctified and perfect in Your sight. That's a miracle. It's an amazing grace, isn't it? Father, I ask that You'll complete and do Your work in our lives today. May we leave this congregation knowing that we have been in Your presence. May we leave today knowing that You are doing all that You can to save us. And I thank You, Jesus, that You paved the road to heaven with Your blood. Not one in this congregation should be lost, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, whatever it takes, bring us home. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.